Season 1, we were in our feelings. Season 2, we started dealing. And in Season 3, we are getting to the healing. Join me, your host Justin Rain, and new guests each episode. Prepare to laugh, cry, possibly be triggered, but most importantly, evolve past it all as we continue to address our fuckboy problem. On today's episode of Fuckboy Problems titled Mr. Check Your Credentials, I sit down with writer and podcaster Henry Filia, aka Just X Henry, about education as social currency, family disliking your partner, and the politics of education in dating. He's got a lot of thoughts if you ever read one of his threads on Twitter, and you know he does not hold back. But before we get to that conversation, here's Fuckboys in the News.
Good evening, this is the news.
Campaign between James and Phoebe really heating up now. Thanks.
Fucking library.
This is the fucking news.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No!
This is the fucking news.
Hey everybody, happy new year and welcome back to Fuck Boys in the News. If you're a new listener, if you're an old listener, if you're my cousin, you're my friends, family, thank you all for listening. And if you don't know the rules of this portion of the show, they are very simple. If you're a fuckboy and you are fucking up and you have no excuse for your actions, just know that I'm going to call you out on them. First up on the list this week, you guys, is none other than a recurring fuckboy here in the studio, Kanye West. Ye has taken being a fuckboy ex to another level this time, and I'm sure you guys already know. Where do we even begin? First, since his ex, Kim Kardashian, filed for divorce, he since casted a body double of Kim as his girlfriend. Have y'all seen this girl? I mean, from the brunette hair and the ass shots, you know, to give her a little bit of hips and the antique ivory skin, you know, to mimic the whole Armenian look. I mean, the girl literally went to the Kim K School of Aesthetics, y'all. Yeezy took things even further by dripping this bitch in a full, you know, we bringing all the racks, all the looks, you know, giving her a whole Balenciaga photo shoot spread in the Balenciaga store, which at this point feels like an entire press run about this weeks old relationship. I mean, it just screams, I'm trying to piss off my ex. Like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Now, to make matters worse, he's released a snippet to tease an upcoming track called Easy, E-A-Z-Y, y'all, where he disses Kim's rebound boyfriend of the moment right now. If you guys don't know, she's dating Pete Davidson from SNL, and supposedly they linked up or exchanged numbers when Kim appeared on there last year. And in the track, or in the snippet that Ye just conveniently released, with the album artwork of a skinned monkey, like a bloody skinned monkey, like y'all have to look at it. Like, it's all shock factor, all like, it's just a mess. The track, the lyrics are, God save me from the crash, just so I can beat Pete Davidson's ass, Kanye raps. I mean, Kanye clearly wants to smoke with Pete, but just like a fuckboy, he's in denial. And he's making everyone else responsible for his shit instead of healing and maybe getting a chance to win Kim back with some integrity over all these intimidation tactics like this. Hopefully his psychiatrist, a friend, Steve Harvey, I don't know, Jay-Z, somebody can talk to this man and talk some sense into his head. Good luck, bitch. Next up on the list is another recurring fuckboy. Honestly, I'm just keeping it real with y'all. All these boys this week, they are boys and not men, and they have been on the show before, but they just have not learned their lesson. So back to number 2 on the list. Trey motherfucking Songz. Now in the news, Trey is still up to the same tired shit that Trey does. Y'all had kind of started sucking his dick because he released the OnlyFans because y'all are so dick hungry. But hopefully y'all won't keep being dickmatized and y'all see the truth for who these individuals are. Now in recent news, former UN Las Vegas basketball player and music artist Dylan Gonzalez, she's a gorgeous girl, y'all should look her up, tweeted right before the new year, Trey Songz is a rapist. See you in 2022. Like, so, and in the tweet, she said she just had to get that out. And the sad part is, we been knew that Trey was a fuckboy all the way back in 2017 when Keke Palmer told us about this nigga's antics at some music video shooting, to the point to where this girl, she was hiding in a closet until the video was over. He took her phone just to try to have, and like, just to try to have her in this video and use sexual intimidation tactics per Keke to try to coerce her into doing what he wanted her to do. And she still wasn't with it. And then on top of that, everybody on the internet decided to gaslight her and tell her that she was being dramatic and making a big deal, and she just wanted to feel attracted, and Trey would never want somebody like her. I guess because she's passed, you know, the brown paper bag test of what, you know, our Eurocentric world believes, you know, beauty lies, which is really sad. But since then, if you guys really want to know the stats, because Trey be trying to go around here walking like he's innocent, like he isn't doing this shit, but he literally is a walking monster. Since then, he has been accused at least 5 times of some form of sexual assault or rape or some type of intimidation tactics just in the past 2 years, from January 2020, August 2020, April 2021, November 2021, and December 2021. Are we even still talking about this? Where there's smoke, there's fire. And fuckboys love to deflect and deny. Case closed. It's time for the electric chair. Where's Kaya when you need her? Okay. Last up on the list, like I said, these are nothing but repeat offenders this week, y'all. Tristan Thompson. If you've been living under your rock, Tristan has done it again, my people. He's done it again. And at the top of the year, after court-ordered paternity results proved Tristan fathered a child, another child, with a fitness model from Houston, Texas, that he conceived during his birthday party weekend in March in Houston, March 2021. He flew her out. He put her in a room. He wore her out for the weekend. He sent her off about on her way. Thanks for hanging out. Here's a t-shirt to remember me by. Anyways, this all got revealed after Tristan publicly apologized in an Instagram story, which is so annoying. Hopefully he formally apologized to Chloe, like to her face. Or maybe Chloe honestly got this nigga blocked. Well, I guess you can have him blocked because they have a child. But I bet she was like, nah, I don't want to see you. You can't come by. Whatever. Hopefully she didn't give him the time. But anyways, so he apologizes in his Instagram story for embarrassing and disrespecting Chloe once again in the worst way possible. And I don't know if this makes matters better or worse, but they have been broken up allegedly since June when he was caught cheating on her with someone else. But like, it's just like, oh my gosh, the story just keeps unraveling for this young man. It's like he's just a glutton for punishment. I don't know. And to make matters worse, a series of text messages between Tristan, which do not They do not show him in a good light at all. Him and the fitness model came out revealing him, like, really trying to intimidate her and just, like manipulate her and trying to basically, like, CYA, cover his motherfucking ass. Because he basically told her these things. He said she never make as much money as she thinks off of him with this celebrity child because he's retiring in Houston and child support in Houston is very low. He then went on to offer her $75,000 to just shut up and go away with the baby and go live her best happy life. Well, that's just sad and wrong. And on top of that, Miss Mamas decided to book it and go to LA. She didn't move her whole life to LA. She said, I'm coming up off of this and I'm gonna use the excuse that my child needs to be near his father and you're gonna pay me Los Angeles child support. But I don't know. I'm not sure how paternity, you know, filings work, if it's where the parent lives, if it's where she lives, but also he could say he technically lives in a lot of places, and I'm sure he has a Houston home, so maybe he'll try to find his way out of it. But like I said, I can't wait for you all to hear this conversation, Mr. Check Your Credentials with Henry. He does not hold back, and it's a gag on top of a gag on top of another gag. So here's Fuckboy Confession. What to do but to keep part two of my confessions. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Fuckboy Problems. I'm your host, Justin Rain, and today I have none other than Henry. He is a Black queer writer, a podcaster, and oh my gosh, if you follow him on Twitter, you know he is funny as Fuck, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this one. Like,
I have too. This has been a long time coming.
Yeah, I had your name. Like, this season has really been a magical season. I wrote down people who I was following, who had voices, who were really doing things. And I was just watching. I really rejoined Twitter like 8 months ago. And I was just watching. I was like, I want the stories to be different. You constantly and consistently are a voice and your threads. Like, you just really, you just do it for me. And you're somebody who I was like, no, this person, I need to have a guest. This person has a point of view and they're opinionated and they're articulate. And they do a little bit of research before they just open their mouth and throw something into the void on the internet.
I appreciate that.
So we can't say everybody does that, but I definitely can say that about you. So I'm so excited to have you here today. Now, today's episode, you came up with on your own. This was not from my little story arc, you guys. I story arc this season. I have like a list of all these stories you can tell. And Henry was like, no. I got something.
I got several.
It did have several. Oh my gosh. And this one really stuck out to me. So today's episode is called Mr. Check Your Credentials. I think all of us maybe have dealt with someone who, you know, their ego was a little inflated. They may have thought that they were a little too good and they were trying to tell you what the rules and parameters for engagement were. Trying to talk like they were Naomi saying, you're not on my level, Nicole. You know? And guess what? There's no such thing as levels. You know, humans are humans, and that is where we should always start. So, without further ado, let's get into this story. So, place us in the scene. Tell us about this person. Where'd you meet them? Was it dark and stormy? Were you out in the streets of DC?
So, picture it. Largo, Maryland, 2003? Yes, 2003. I was on Men For Now, so dating hookup site.
Look at God. Take us back. I know about Men For Now.
Really?
My whole ass.
a lot of the children, a lot of the girls don't know about Men For Now. That's to be a whole.
Men For Now used to get it going. There used to be some cream of the crop on there. Uncharted territory.
It did. And I met this 6'3", 6'4" dark chocolate. Jamaican American brother from Brooklyn, from Flatbush, which is ironic. I live in Bed-Stuy now. And
he was from Flatbush.
Yeah, he's from Flatbush. He was great at the time. But we met on the app and he was like completely my type and chocolate and tall. He had a nice penis. We dated for like, it was a very short relationship. Like, it was like 7 months, but it ended very horrifically.
7 months? I mean, 7 months, that's almost a full gestational period. You were creating almost. You were almost there.
He was like my first boyfriend. So like, I remember it fondly. So like, I lived in Largo, Maryland, still at home with my mother. And I'm the youngest, I have three older sisters. I was spoiled. Yes, very, very much so. The baby and the only boy. I was lit.
Oh yeah, life was great for you.
Oh my God, it was awesome. Like, could not complain. And he lived in Temple Hills, Maryland, and he had two other roommates. This one guy, I won't say their names. They were cool. They were great people. Lovely, lovely people. And actually, so funny enough, I still talk to one of them to this day. One of his roommates, I am still in cyber communication with. Like on an annual basis via Facebook or Instagram.
Y'all do him and I,
right? So him and I have since never spoken in years. But that's his fault. We'll get to that because it's also an epilogue to the story as well.
Come on.
Oh, the message just ended the breakup. So we dated for 7 months. It was great and lovely. Things were good.
How long was it good?
It was good for probably like 5-6 months. And then
so you had good a majority of the time.
Yeah, like it was cool. Like we'd go out to the club together and dance, and we'd go to the club in DC called The Edge. It was down in Southwest before they got rid of it because of like gentrification and everything, turning all the black gay clubs. Little bit of gay history for y'all, black gay history, but yeah, it was there. And it was go out and go dance, have a good time, chill with his roommates. Never chilled in my house because of course I live with my parents. with my mother, and he was super cool. So one day when we were dating, I brought him to the house to I think it was like Thanksgiving or something was going on. I don't know, something going on mother's house. And my family was there. And I took him to the house and I like kind of let him meet my family, but kind of didn't. And I brought him in to meet my mother, and he was very nice, polite, and met my aunt. And we were like really like passing. I mean, I had to go pick up something from the house. Like I left something important, who knows?
It was a little and, drive-by.
Yeah, it was a drive-by. And I remember like we're about to walk out, and I'm like, he took the keys to go to my car. He didn't drive my shit, let's be very clear. He didn't drive my shit. But I gave him the key to go like go get yourself in the car, turn the heat on. Cause it was the winter time. And my mother pulled me to the side, and they were like, we don't like him for you. Something about him is just off. Uh-uh. Maybe it's the lack of eye contact. He doesn't like a gentleman. You can do better. I don't think he's the one for you. I was like, Mom, he's great. He's everything. He's chocolate. He's dark skin. He's tall. Because they had a big old penis. Well, it wasn't a big old penis, you know, because my size queen levels have changed since then.
You know, that was
you said what?
I said, we know. I was like, oh, yeah. They changed?
Yeah, that was because, you know, I wasn't like, I think I didn't start bottoming until I was like almost 22. So, like, I was like a year into like taking dick when I first met him. Can I say taking dick?
Yeah, you can say what you want to say. Okay. We're explicit around here. We love dick.
So I remember like my mother just did not like him. Put a pin in that. So I remember when everything started to like fizzle, he was just like, so this is where the credentials part comes in. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I don't think this is a great fit. Like we're at a job because we weren't. I don't think this is a great fit because you're not college educated like me. And I don't think that you can manage being with someone like me until you get your things together. I don't think we should do this anymore. Wow. And I'm just like completely ambushed because at the time, like I'm a bartender now. I've been bartending for 22 years. Bartending has been my bread and butter. I've made a lot of money bartending, a lot of good money, met a lot of great people. It's been lovely and fantastic. And I just was just like really like stunned because I was just like, you've never mentioned this in conversation that my lifestyle of me being a bartender and working. It wasn't like I wasn't like a nigga that went to work. I went to work. Like I did my 5-6 days a week because I like money and security and having fun. So like, it wasn't like I didn't go to work. I was just chilling or like asking him for money or things like that. It was never a company situation like that. Like, you know, it was cool. So he broke up with me, and then something in my spirit was like, he's being unfaithful to me also. Cause like, it was like a clean break. It was really weird. And
come out of the blue.
That was the first. Yeah, because like, I didn't know we had any issues around me not being college educated. And because like, I came from a very blue collar family, they weren't focused on education in that regard. They were more so like, you go get a job, you go get benefits, you go get a pension, you go get 401k, that's what you do. I mean, since, of course, like, in the moment of that part of my life, no one could have told me that the world would change so much that like those things just didn't exist anymore. My mother was born in 1949. So it was like the job she had at the local power company and my mother like retired like X amount of years ago and she's been set ever since. But that world is not the world we live in as millennials anymore. And so I think people didn't realize is like what my mother planned for me was not feasible, but no one could have told me that then. So like, I was focused on working and maintaining my own stability and not going to college. I tried when I was 21, but it just wasn't for me. But at the time of 23, I had no intention of going back. Education is a big thing in the DC area, and it's also part of your social currency. So because I lacked that, I didn't have value in a relationship, in spite of everything else that I had been a great boyfriend, faithful, not cheating, well-behaved, not crazy, not burning your shit down. Not saying that you should burn anybody's shit down, but sometimes
left eye.
Right, but I felt like he was cheating on me and I hopped his fence. That was literally the first time I ever had like a crazy moment. I had one other one, but I was justified in both situations. So I hopped this fence with one of my former friends and he like, you know, held me up, put the foot up, hopped over, you know, my little ass, hopped right over that motherfucking fence. All of his window, like, what's good, what's going on, who in there, who in it? Nobody was in there.
He gone.
But I'm never wrong. I'm never wrong. So we eventually got back together like a week or two later, then we broke up again.
Oh my gosh.
So as we proceed into the epilogue of this story, maybe like a month later.
Like when you said things were fizzling out, was he starting to act funny before he broke up with you the first time at all?
It was like, I'll say this, like, I don't think I had the awareness then. Like, I think I'm much more
like
aware
to feel communicatively it, to feel about the what my shift.
Yeah, like, I wasn't that person. I don't think I was really paying attention to those things. Those Yahweh Zodiacs, y'all have to hate me for saying this, but as a Pisces, I'm just all about, like, love and rainbows and happiness and sunshine when I'm in a relationship. Basically, we had this relationship. He, like, it just, I thought everything was just fine. I just didn't think anything was wrong. I'm just so used to like just being a supportive partner, showing up, doing what I'm supposed to do, whatever. But so when we broke up, it was just like, yeah, what the fuck? But
so when y'all got
was like, yeah, I was really upset about it, really heartbroken. And then my mother and I had a conversation about it, and I had talked to her about it. My mother's always been like super like supportive of me as a gay person. So like I've never like had any issues discussing anything with her. This is the same mother who was like, oh, if you want to have sex, do it at home, it's safer. If they get out of line, you can just cut them and say self-defense, I'll have your back. You know,
what?
Just do
what
you
gotta
do. My mother's very realistic. So she's like, you're a little guy, you know, just be safe. So
I remember you tweeted this.
Yes, because she was really like that. So like, I never had any issues like that. So with my mom, it was really super cool, but she was just like, what does he have going on that you don't have going on? And I was like, well, he has a degree. He has his, you know, education and whatever the fuck he had going on. And I don't know if he like, I think he had a match. I think he was working on a master's at the time we were dating. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But he was doing like, collegially, he was doing, is it collegially? I don't know.
Yeah,
in college, he was doing well. And my mother's like, well, does he have a car? Like, you have a car? And I was like, because you're always picking him up. And I was like, no, he doesn't have a car. So, he must have all his money dedicated to his place. He lives by himself. I said, no, he has roommates. He has two roommates. He's like, well, you have a roommate and I'm your mother. He can't afford his rent and you can't afford yours. So what's the difference?
Boop.
I was like, what is he doing that's so much greater than you? A piece of paper? You go to work every day. You're supposed to go to work. You pay your bills. You support me when you can. Like my mother never like made me pay rent. She was just kind of just like, she just didn't believe in that. She was like, you know, you're allowed to be in your 20s and live your life. But she was just like, some things that you may want, like your own phone line, you're paying for that.
Yeah.
Like you want specific groceries, you're paying for that. But it's like me putting towards the electric, the utilities, stuff. No. Those are things that she did for in her house. Yeah, she was accountable for those things. So with my mom, just like, she's like, oh, well, I warned you. And that's what I was like before her. My aunt was just like, he wasn't a great fit for me. And so just like, it was funny because it all came around full circle and she was absolutely right. And usually, not that I've never like hid my love life from my mother. I talk to her about it openly all the time. But I just know that like, I generally just don't bring guys around until like we're much more settled. We were more than settled. I was just like, just didn't bring him around. But like when I date now, just like, okay, girl, what you think?
Mm-hmm.
What's tea? Lipton. How you feel about this one? Like, talk to me. Talk to me, Sharon. How you feel about it?
Because they can see like, you can't see. They can see stuff you can't see.
Right. And she saw it. So, but after that, we had some time apart, didn't see him or whatever. And I started dating another guy. But that didn't go anywhere. But he invited me to a party with his brand new boyfriend, who they had started dating 2 months after we split.
Okay.
Right. So it wasn't crazy because he was already talking to somebody else. So I had talked to his now ex much later down the line. It was like, when did you and Jason start? When did you and that young man, I don't say his name, when did you and Jason start dating? And he was like, you know, X amount of time. I was like, there was some overlap, but it was around the breakup. So like, they may not have been dating, but they definitely were already talking. And the guy definitely was college educated, went to Howard University. So like, he had all the things that he was looking for. So he invites me to his party or whatever to celebrate. I think it was his birthday. And I brought the guy with me. And the guy that I had with me was extremely attractive. Attractive to the point that it created a conversation in the room. Mm. And all the girls was like, oh, who's that? Oh, is that your ex with another man? Like, yeah, his ex, operative word, motherfucker, his ex with another man. At this point, I think we were like a year removed from like us dating. And
both of y'all there with y'all new mans. Are y'all not?
Right. So we were like a year or two removed from dating, and we were talking, and I was like, he's in a newer place with his roommates. And I was like, is the bathroom still remember when I think it is? He was like, yeah. So I went back to the bathroom and I pee, come out, and he's like at the door like this, because he's tall and I'm short.
Oh,
so he was like, so you just gonna bring another nigga in my house? Like, you know how disrespectful that is? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know we had a little thing or whatever, but like, he can bring another man in here. I was like, nigga, I told him before I bought him that I was bringing a date. So it's not like I just popped up being petty. I do have a petty Pisces spirit. It's in there. That's another story for another day. One day I'll tell y'all about the story of how I waited 5 years to get revenge on somebody, and I fucked this man and ruined their marriage because he shouldn't have came for me in the first place. Different
feels
person.
Right. Feels
I'm a hateful Pisces when I'm pushed. But very suffice to say, right, I keep it on the playground. I kept it fair. I was like, yo, I'm bringing a date. Are you okay with it? He gave me consent, because consent is a big thing for me. So I don't like ambushes. I don't like surprises. That shit is not good for me, not for my spirit, because like, even if I surprise him, he's upset, that can create a situation for the person that I'm with and make them uncomfortable. But it did create a situation that he made my date uncomfortable. Everybody would just talk about how attractive he was and how much he was clearly unnerved. I was like, bro, your man is right there. I'm not even like in a relationship with this nigga. I'm not even fucking him yet. We're just dating. That's it. So like, I don't know what the issue is. So, but I just find like really strange that you could bring some dude in here and you know me and you had a thing. I was like, nigga, you are sitting here with your man. Like, I knew then when the math wasn't mathing. So I don't know what we're even talking about. So I was like, you know what? I'll just leave then. I took me and my date and we left. And I didn't feel anything bad about it. So, because I am a petty Pisces, and I don't forget things. You're going to rue this day, sir. You're going to rue this day. Begin ruining.
This was unnecessary.
It was. Immensely.
He got hyped up in the bullshit. He didn't think your date was gonna intimidate him.
Right.
Ego.
It was complete ego. And then like later, one of my friends used him for a place to stay because he was really into one of my friends. But like, they came into my job to eat. I still work at Busboys and Poets in Washington, D.C., down in 14th.
Yes, good omelets.
And they came down to my table and I was their waiter. And I literally only talked to my friend the entire time and paid him complete dust the entire time. So he's like, you're not going to talk to me? And I'm like, for what? Like, you have the issue. I don't have the issue. You came here with an attitude. You felt some kind of way because he brought you here, knowing that I work here. Me and this man are friends. Get over it. It's fine. But eventually, like, one day, I had to go to his house and pick him up. And him and my best friend, like, pick him up to go somewhere. And he had a new roommate. He's living somewhere else. And I was like, oh, your roommate is hot. He trying to fuck?
Now, why you got to be that? Ah, you are terrible.
Awful.
I'm awful.
Like, I'm going to get the last punch. I'm going to get it, plain and simple. So he was like, nah, he was like mad pissed. He's like, you're not touching nothing in here. And then like, he went back and told my friends, like, I think you should leave. You and your friend need to get up out of here with this shit. Like, he was mad type of me. I didn't care. She never came for me in the first place. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. This is over a span of like 2003 to like maybe like 2010. Like all these events happened within that time.
You need to be letting this
like,
shit
I'm
go.
It's like I let shit go on a certain level, but if you keep trying to come for me.
I'm talking about him. He needs to be let that shit go too.
Right. It was like when we broke up, we broke up. I didn't like, I took the L. I received it. It hurt. It was what it was. But then they just like, I couldn't make someone love me who didn't, or who wasn't ready to, or wasn't like, I didn't meet the credentials of what they were desiring. So when we broke up, I was okay with it. I mean, not okay with it, but like, I had to make my peace with it. So yeah, credentials suck.
I guess, what advice would you give to someone in a similar situation? Or what advice would you give to yourself now? Would you even handle it the same way now as you did back then?
I think I would have been more pettier about it now than I would have been then. Like, I was more timid back then. I'm much more pettier now. So, like, I know I probably would handle it much differently. But what I would say, that people know who we are when we enter relationships. I think that if there's something that you deem the person to improve upon, not change, you suggest, you don't enforce. And the thing that, like, if I walk into a relationship and you know I'm bald-headed, I'm not wearing a lace. And that's what I told you from the beginning. So you sitting here sending me ads of lace fronts to wear is not it. I'm just saying this for an example.
I was about to say, if somebody did this to you, I'm running up and they getting done up. Because first of all, you have a nice shape head. Like, right. You know.
But I'd like you have to, like, you kind of have to accept people, you have to meet people where they are. But if they're not for you, you should know that from the beginning. And then make your way to remove them, or like tell them I'm not interested because of X, Y, and Z. Like, instance, like the thing that I see happen sometimes in dating is that people hope they can change someone. Change is a choice that's between the individual and themselves, and that's it. You can't make someone change. Now, people will want to change for you because they love you. I receive that. But having someone change for you that doesn't want to change, you can't make that happen. And I think you need to set people where they are. If they're not for you, then they're not for you, and that's fine also. You have every right to decline dating someone that's not for you. But I don't believe that you go into a relationship and change someone. You can suggest things to make them, to help them improve. Like, for instance, like you date someone who's really bad with money. Like, you can show them how to improve their credit score, or how to balance their checkbook better, or how to, you know, manage their spending habits better. But you can't make someone do something that they don't want to do. Either they're going to do it or they're not. So I just think that, like, there's a certain point where you have to love people where they are. I think that, like, if you are really hoping to gain unconditional love with someone, you have to completely accept them where they are, like, as Beyonce say, flaws and all.
Like, amen.
They're not negotiable.
Okay. So have you ever met a fuckboy in Atlanta, or dealt with any fuckboys in Atlanta? This season is all about Atlanta, but, you know, we tell stories outside of Atlanta, but I know you've traveled, you've been around the world.
I lived in Atlanta for 10 months, and that's why.
Okay, well, what would be your definition of a fuckboy from Atlanta? What are they like? What's dating like with fuckboys in Atlanta?
I will say that, like, so the time I lived in Atlanta, I was in a sexually non-monogamous relationship, meaning we were monogamous for the most part, but we permitted each other to fuck other people together separately, with telling each other, without telling each other, you know, whatever. So I just remember living in Atlanta and how super competitive it was amongst other bottoms, and how much they worked very hard to be the best looking bottom in the room, regardless if they were like a fit bottom, a fashion bottom, a femme bottom, a fat bottom. If they were a bottom, they were the best in their category. It was
tens across the board.
It was tens. Like,
I feel like that's how Atlanta is now.
Right. So I just remember like meeting tops to hook up. So like apparently like living in DC, like in DC, I will give DC much credit for it, that like if you happen to gain a fuck buddy in DC, you'll keep that nigga for life. Them niggas in DC, they'll say your fuck. Like if I can go back to DC now and like instantly like hit a number and like, oh, I'm good. And I've been fucking, like, one dude in particular, I've been fucking him since like 2008, 2009. And I call him anytime and he's like, he's down. He's down. I have a lot of dudes like that back in BC, but in Atlanta is like, the bottoms are all like supreme and pretty and amazing and gorgeous and stunning. And then the tops all look like something from The Lord of the Rings. All of them did. They knew that they had the pecking order. They knew it was very Darwinistic in regards to, like, you know, survival of the fittest. And because tops are such high demand, they didn't have to be amazing. They didn't have to have great hygiene. They didn't have to have clean apartments. They didn't have to be respectful. They didn't have to be on time. They can come quick and just leave. Fucking Atlanta was the worst. Like, the worst. I don't understand how people date in Atlanta and take it seriously. The niggas play way too much. I am mad ignorant. I'm not for that shit. I remember I was a bartender, and like your audience may know, there's a bar, I think it's closed now. There's a bar in Atlanta called Einstein's. That's a bartender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Einstein's.
Right. So I was a bartender there, and I remember, because like my coworkers had like gotten privy to the fact I was in an open relationship. And because I'm a bartender about making his money, I don't talk to young niggas when I'm bartending at a gay bar. Young niggas, I'm 25.
They ain't got no money.
Y'all ain't got no money. Y'all dollar tipping me all night. So what I'm going to do is take me and my small waist and my fat ass and walk around this bar and touch and squeeze every man over fucking 35. Hey, babe, how you doing? You look, what's that you got on today? Oh my God, you look amazing, babe. Give me, where my hug at? Let them feel the small of my back, little pinch, little squeeze. Who got that $20 tip on each one of them niggas? I did. I'm helping you motherfuckers out. So like, mm-hmm. I remember I was flirting with a guy and one of my coworkers who was not in any kind of like dating competition or me not trying to fuck him or anything like that was, oh, you know, he got a man. Don't talk to that one. Across the bar. Like, girl, I'm getting money for us. They used to be so competitive and so insecure. That shit was so weird. And the thing, like, the guy in particular was so beautiful and, like, you know, conventionally attractive, body down, bald headed, chocolate brother. He was fine as shit. I think he might have been a black okay and a snow queen, but that's fine. But I just knew that, like, he just would not let me be great. And I'm just like, and my other coworker who worked there, who coincidentally, she was from DC and we started on the same day. She saw it and she was like, I say, these niggas is dry hating. Like, shit. Yeah. Like, I'm not, I'm a hoe of a certain cloth. I don't shit where I sleep. Mm-hmm. Lying slightly. I have fucked at a few jobs that I've worked at. But in there, it wasn't happening. It was too many of the girls. You know, I'm
gonna fuck at a job. You can't do it nowhere where everybody at. They all gonna be sniffing right. And looking and lurking.
It's a hot spot. So it didn't work in there to like try to like meet somebody in there. But I just remember just like, it was really weird that someone was that competitive. So like in Atlanta, it was like, there are some good men in Atlanta. And there are some men in Atlanta that are really looking for love. And I know that they wanna find it, but they're not gonna find it in any social setting in Atlanta. Find your shit low key, on the low. You find your bae and then you disappear. There are a lot of couples in Atlanta which people don't realize, but a lot of them don't really fool with
the single gays. Yeah, they be minding their business.
Yes, they mad messy. They will try to break up your home. They don't give a fuck. And I don't think that's indicative of particularly Atlanta. I think that there's some echelon of that in all gay culture. But in Atlanta, dating is very, very Darwinistic, very, very cutthroat. You gotta be ready. You gotta have your tans ready, bitch. They coming for you. Like, the girls are competing. They don't give a fuck. They all in the gym. They all got the flyest set of clothes. They all looking great. They all look like the bottoms in Atlanta are lovely. They are gorgeous. There's some gorgeous bottoms. There's the prettiest fucking bottoms I ever seen in my life live in Atlanta. They are the prettiest fucking bottoms. Hoo child. But I wasn't necessarily worried because I had a man. So like, I wasn't like, oh, well, what little bald headed me going to do? But I had a man.
Right, because you were straight. Yeah, your situation was set.
Yeah, so like, I wasn't worried about that. But I knew the girls definitely were like, competing and not and I had one fuck to give. Mm. Not one.
So tell everybody out there about all the things that you're doing, how we can find you on social media. Tell everybody about the podcast that you're on as well.
So currently I'm doing a lovely nerd podcast with three other Black men, Black queer men. It's called KRKA Radio. It's an abbreviation for Krakoa Radio, which is a mutant island in the X-Men universe. And we discuss the X-Men books weekly and a little side topic on top of that. So the episodes come out every Wednesday, and they're on Apple Podcasts, and we're on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud right now. Spotify will be eventually one day. You know, it's a process, this podcasting thing. I know you got the shit down, Pat.
It's like trying to figure time. It out. I had a consulting child. Like literally, I had someone who did it with me, so it was a lot. I think that made it smoother. But yeah, it'll all work out in time. You'll just start adding different places, piece by piece. Okay, and then how can everybody find you on social media?
Oh yeah. Oh sorry. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram under JustXHenry, JustX, the letter X, HNRY. I'm also a contributing writer for thebody.com, which is an HIV resource website. I write probably like twice a month for them. So there are plenty of articles. You can also Google my name, Henry, H-E-N-R-Y. My last name is Philyaw, P-H-I-L-Y-A-W. I've also done work for Soul.LGBT, which is a Black organization, Black queer organization that does Black queer topics and things that are focused on the Black experience. Yeah, that's what I do. That's me. And I randomly talk shit on Twitter.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we will have our fuckboy versus fucked up portion of the show. So y'all stay tuned.
I couldn't help but wonder. Are men just women with balls?
This is a good time to vent, officially. Now, in the great tradition of Paris is Burning, the library is about to be open. Hey! Yeah. Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
That's right, children.
Mm-hmm. We are at the fuckboy versus fucked up portion of the show. I have Henry here today on Mr. Check Your Credentials, bitch, at the door. And today's letter comes in. That took you out. Oh, okay. Also, let me take the rule. Okay.
I love that.
I'm gonna read you the letter. We'll decide if this person is a fuckboy or if the situation is fucked up. Give them a little bit of advice and, you know, just school them based on your life experience. Today's subject comes in and the subject line reads, "Put up or shut up." Hi, fuckboy probs. Put up or shut up. That's what my partner tells me all the time. About almost everything, or so it seems. Have you heard of the 80-20 rule? Well, did you know it applies to finances in a marriage too? I've been married to my husband for almost 6 months now, and I definitely feel like it applies to us. But differently, in my relationship at least, if you're not paying for the majority, or in my man's case, 80% of the bills, then you only get 20% say in getting what you want out of things. Now, I know some people on the outside looking in would probably think that's fair. I admittedly don't make anywhere close to as much as my husband does, but I feel I contribute in other ways, in love and support and having his back when no one else does. I never thought that just because I can't financially contribute 50%, that I would forfeit my voice or a majority of it due to his larger financial investment in our quality of life. When my man and I met, he always whined and dined me without question. I didn't assume that that would be the norm. But I always was very transparent about the place of transition that I was in career-wise. So I never assumed things would take the turn that they have. It's like everything comes back to money. As of late, he's complained about having to do the laundry or even pick up after himself. Whenever I brought up his need to contribute still to the daily operations of our home and upkeep, he just throws it back on me and asks, haven't I contributed enough? Like, what am I supposed to say to that? it's not like I don't want to make more money or contribute more to our home, but he also knew how much I made prior to our wedding, and he was well aware of what he signed up for. Finding a new job takes an average of 6 months, and I've been looking for about 8 months or so. I've had some good callbacks and even rounds of interviews, but I can never close the deal. It's either not been a good fit for them or myself. And I just refuse to work somewhere just to make more money. And if I don't have to take a job I hate and we're good, then why should I have to? The last time we talked about our finances, he called me selfish and told me I was only thinking about my happiness and comfort and not about him or ours as a couple. He voiced tons of times the stress that the financial responsibility puts on him, but he continues to keep operating as usual. So what am I to believe? What he's saying or what he's doing? As of late, he asked me why I married him. He even insinuated that I married him for a better life or a level up, like I'm some sort of gold digger. I pay for my own and handle my own. Well, as much as this job allows me to, at least. I literally contribute all the money I do make to our home in one way or another. He also said I'm the one who chose my career field and am standing in my own way of finding a better job. Some days I don't even recognize the person I married anymore. Money and education isn't everything. And I don't believe it defines you. That's how I was raised, but he was raised the complete opposite. I feel like all I do is talk to a brick wall. I'm 100% sure he thinks I'm being a fuck boy or fuck girl of sorts. Is that how I come off? Because I think he's being a fuck boy at this point or a complete jerk. What do you think? Where's the middle ground, or is there even one anymore while I'm in this place? I know we have an imbalance, but I've promised him it wouldn't last forever, and I'm committed to that. How do we get out of this fucked up situation before we both end up on divorce court? Signed, brokenhearted, broke girl.
Am I allowed to respond?
Yeah, you the guest. You go first. Get on up. Get on out.
Okay, he's a fuck boy.
Yeah.
I like to quote the legendary Super Cent. Bitch, shoot him. Like, girl. Like, I'm sorry. And it's so funny that this is very relevant to like my story in a larger way. I think that like number one, there's from what I'm getting from her side of the story that like there's a lack of compassion going on from his side of understanding. Like, look, you know, she had this kind of access to specific wealth. And one thing I want people to understand very clearly as Black people, that we have got to stop this pissing match with wealth, because we would never be as wealthy as our white counterparts. And I think a lot of problems that we understood, right? Like basic economics, Black people, I think, have like 250 some odd years behind white folks before they catch up. And we all know that in the midst of that catch up, they still will probably still ahead of us. So just like there's a learning curve and some grace that should be given to people with Black people and their wealth. Number two, Jesus Christ, I'm not even going through the numbers. It's a lot of things.
Right, it's a lot of issues.
It's like, communication should always be happening, regardless if someone is the breadwinner or not the breadwinner relationship. We all have to still pour into this relationship. I think that someone should not be responsible for the home while they are still clocking into a job and doing all the laundry and whatever the fuck they gotta do around the house, and you get to chill because you're paying the bills. Like, I think there's no mutual respect. Also, America, premarital counseling should be happening. A lot of you girls, and I say girls, G-U-R-L-S, a lot of you girls and men's and women's and everybody else, y'all be getting married and don't have premarital counseling. Y'all end up getting shacked up with these motherfuckers that ain't built for y'all for the long run. And I think that like being equally yoked is very important, but I think that like equally yoked is in response to me about how well you can communicate. Now, do I understand there's gonna be adversity in relationship? There's gonna be good times and bad times. We are currently in a bad time, which is a global pandemic. Finding work has been very problematic. Even for me being in New York City as a bartender, like I've been applying to a lot of places left and right and not gotten a lot of jobs. All my offers, all jobs I've gotten recently is because I know someone who put me on to someone. So I just think that like her partner doesn't have any compassion. I do think that if they are really invested in the marriage and staying together, they can communicate this and fix this. But if he does not have the emotional maturity, the concern, the compassion, the patience, the wherewithal girl, if you're still young and you still got your eggs, baby, pack your shit up and just go. You could do bad by your goddamn self. You don't, like, a man is a compliment, not a completion of who you are as an individual. Mm-hmm. You are beautifully made. You are uniquely made. You are made in God's image. You matter. Do not put up with this shit. This is foolishness to me. If you got a big brother, I'll be your big brother and gonna beat his ass because you don't do no shit like that to nobody. And I think also part of the thing that's complicit in this seems like gender roles, and I'm gonna assume that she's probably heterosexual, but I just will just hope that, like, and don't get me wrong, a marriage
is a financial agreement.
And the thing that, like, you would think he would make sense and do the right thing, because if they go to divorce court, child, he make the most. So you paying alimony, bruh. So you might want to get your shit together and think about this more than she needs to think about it. Because she divorces your ass, she definitely gets spousal support. And I would make sure I direct her to the services that would get her spousal support, okay? Child, you can't be out here. I ain't for that shit.
Be petty,
like,
for her.
Like, it's so disrespectful. And I think that, like, it also does not give either partner the permission or bandwidth to make mistakes or to fail or to struggle in a relationship. Once again, we are in a global pandemic. So it is like, jobs are really, and this is something I really want to talk about in detail, probably on Twitter one day, is how much people are really not paying people as well as they used to. Like, everything, the price of consumer goods are going up. The price of the pay for us showing up to these jobs is going down. Joe Biden did not keep his promise about the minimum wage increasing and all these other things that are going on. So I'm just like, God damn it, have a little grace, have a little, like, compassion. This is your partner. You are intending to spend the rest of your life with this person. So you think you might want to do the best thing and act appropriate. But no, not this motherfucker here. Child.
He said 6 months, I'm tired.
It's just like, you knew who she was when she walked into a relationship. If that was a concern for you, you should have made a verbal agreement or conversation about that. Like, look, I'm the man, I'm the breadwinner, because you don't make shit. I bring home the bacon, you take care of the house. And if that wasn't a conversation that never happened, that she could have mutually agreed upon, what y'all could have talked about, that you ambushed her. And that is a change of agreement, also voids the contract. So I would suggest you get a divorce.
If you had gave this divorce court ass reading,
let him go, because it's just disrespectful. Because if he doesn't have the interest to, and I'm like someone who's like, I feel like compromise can be a really bad
space.
It could be like, compromise can be a weird thing in relationships, but if you also know who your partner is, like, why are we even having this conversation? You knew who baby girl was when y'all got together. So, like, and I'm not saying that, like, and that is a problem for her. I think sometimes, and it's something that I learned in my last relationship from dating someone who was Jamaican and non-American, is that the individualistic culture that we have as Americans can be very unhelpful sometimes. And one side of it, we're such individuals that we get a lot of stuff done on our own, but that individualistic ideal cannot work in relationships. If you're sharing a home and space with someone, we are a unit, we are together, we are a family. And a family does not necessarily mean that there are children involved. If I'm sharing a home with you and I'm in love with you and I am in relation with you, we are a family. I need you to act like you are my partner. I need you to be my friend. I need you to, like, because things are like, the great thing about relationships is that it gives you two sets of eyes. I may not see what you see. So I want you to be like, I want you to be fair enough and respectful enough to say, like, hey, babe, you're not making the money that I think that gives you the liberties that you may want. I just really find that it's giving bait and switch. It's giving, you only get what you give. And no one wants to be commodified in a relationship like that. That seems very unhealthy. It seems very dangerous. And if you love someone unconditionally, that shouldn't be a conversation, because it's probably not, this is probably only conditional love in this relationship. And that's the scary part.
It sounds very conditional, yes. I don't
know. All right, go ahead, Justin. Go ahead, Justin Rain. I just said enough. I didn't piss myself off.
You did. I mean, you just said enough for both of us, because it's not like I'm not aligned. This is not hard to understand. This is not hard to get. Like, honestly, like, you need to sit him down tomorrow. As soon as this episode come out, you need to sit him down tomorrow.
Like, and things like...
He probably needs to go to therapy on his own. And I think you all probably need to go to therapy together. Yes. If you guys are going to try to make it work. Because you all have a communication issue that I don't even think they can get through on their own.
Right. They need a mediator. And I firmly believe in love. I believe in love. I believe in rainbows and sunshine and unicorn farts and all that shit and glitter. I want everybody to win and be in love and be magical and happy. But I think that there's a part where, like, if we can't do it together, we need to get someone to facilitate this for us. So I think that, like, marital counseling would work. And also, like, I'm the kind of person, dating-wise, I'm very dangerous minds, let me explain. So, like, remember Dangerous Minds when Michelle Pfeiffer was like, everybody in this class, as of today, has an A. It's up to you to keep the A. So when I date, I don't go into relationships expecting you to be awful and for you to be terrible. I expect you, I come in there with, like, with the hope that you are a great and amazing person. Do I expect you to be perfect? No. But I expect you to be, to do your best and show your best abilities while we're dating. But it's up to you to maintain that A in our relationship. It's also up to me to maintain my A in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I may fall to a B, I may fall to a C. I don't ever want you at an E, because I might have to put you out. But
not an E.
I just feel like we all may have, like, bad moments. I think that's realistic, but it's like you can improve and fix, and, like, some things you may not get. Like, you're making two become one. It's not an overnight situation. And I think that, like, he doesn't have much grace for his partner. And I feel like that if this was an issue. And I think that was a thing to my fuckboy story, which also was a problem, was people feel these things in relationships and never say anything. So by the time it builds and builds and builds and builds and builds, it festers, and then you're getting broken up with, or you're getting a conversation like, you're selfish. Like, my nigga, like, you sitting here like
this. We could have probably, like, navigated, like, this.
Like your wife is not a whore. So you giving her money and telling her to fix it, she's not a whore, she's a person. So that's not no relationship. Like, you can still be the breadwinner and still take care of home, but my nigga, you need to contribute also. She's bringing in whatever she has, like she said in the letter. She's bringing in what she has to the relationship. So it's not like she's contributing, but just because she's contributing a dime to your dollar does not mean she's not contributing. Like, what do you want from her? And then to say that, like, oh, it's a career you chose. So would you want her to go out there and be a lawyer or a doctor so she can have the wealth that makes you feel comfortable? Like, people have to go to a job that makes them happy, because if they're not happy at their jobs, they're going to shit on you when they get home. And we all know, we all see that conversation with James Baldwin, and I would say Nikki Giovanni, where she's like sitting with, like, she's like, no, you go to work and you be nice to your white man at your job. Be nice to me like that. But I get the worst of you at home, but you get them the best of you, but I get the worst of you. So just, like, treat her like you treat that white man at your job who asks you kiss every day. Give her some respect, because you go to that little jobby job and be nice and kiss all them white folks' ass all goddamn day long. No. Like Nikki Giovanni said, treat me like you treat them white folks. Treat me like them, because I get the worst of you. I get all the bullshit you bring home from work and all the other bullshit. I get that. Not your bosses, who are really the ones who are complicit in your unhappiness. Not me, but I get the worst of you. So I think people just don't realize it's just like going to a job. Yeah, that going to a job that's healthy and makes you happy does a lot for someone. And if you're making money on top of that, that's even better. I think that, like, you know, like, I think money is important, but I do find that stability is much more important for me. I've met guys who prefer that, like, they have the physical number for them that makes them happy, and I receive that. But I do also understand that, like, you know, that, like, y'all two different people, two different ideologies. Where can you meet in the middle? And I feel like there's no desire to meet in the middle for the other person. And I feel like it's really not her.
He sounds like he got his stake.
Yeah,
in the
like
hand.
Just he's like some wannabe alpha ass nigga. Like, he wanna be alpha fucking male. He wants to be the boss. You know, you wine and dine her, you provide her this lifestyle. Now you wanna, like, you know, tell her that, oh, you being selfish because, like, you want me to do dishes. You live here too, right? She's your wife, not your maid. She's your wife, not your
whore. Twice as much as her ass. You a nigga.
Right. Like, and it's just like, I just think, like, baby girl, go to marriage counseling first. Give each other a chance to do the right thing. But if that nigga does not act right, you get left.
Yeah, I think without a doubt, he's clearly showed his whole ass as a fuckboy. I don't think that's in question. You already know that. You probably realized it as you wrote it, hopefully.
Right.
All I can do is honestly echo your sentiments, suggest that you, you know, call a counselor and don't try to do that little quick bullshit where y'all go for one session. This is going to have to be an investment. You all need to learn new communication styles. You all probably need to develop a communication style together because one is not being had right now. It sounds like y'all probably are talking to yourselves and him definitely. He's been having a lot of conversations with himself and not with you. And the thing is, like, I will give grace to stress about finance. I will give grace to stress about being a breadwinner. But what he has not done is clearly communicate what all these stresses are. And I bet if he sat down with you and ironed out and laid out these things that are stressing him out, either one, you could be more aware. So you could maybe, I don't know, get a supplemental job, or you guys could come up with some type of financial plan to save, to be able to try to contribute and help mitigate some of those stresses. At the end of the day, to your point, he's not approaching this as a partner or as a family member. He's approaching this as an individual. And I think that's really where the breakdown is occurring for the most part. Now, the way he's talking to you and those insecurities that he probably came with about the gold digger shit, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what he done dealt with. That's a whole nother separate thing. He need to deal with on his own. But Molly, y'all done heard me say it before on this podcast. Molly, you in danger, girl.
Danger, girl.
But I don't think I don't think the water's like past 4 feet, but it's definitely rising. So
yeah.
All the best.
All the best.
All the best. And I hope your heart, you know, gets mended and you are not broke.
Because you're not broke.
Yeah, I think you need to also don't talk about yourself like that. Don't let that don't allow negative self-talk and allow, you know, his BS and, like you said, the probably mess from work and everything else that he's bringing home to you. Don't you allow that to define you. Hold on to your reasons. Hold on to your morals. Hold on to your values. If you know you're doing everything that you can to find a job that fulfills you and also will fulfill the needs of your home, then that's all you can do every day, right?
Right. That's all you can do.
Right. And when we come back, we'll be at the song of the week, y'all.
Hey, how about we listen to a little bit of music?
How did you know? I love this song.
Hey, hi. That is my song.
Hi.
You know they gave me a shout out on the album, right?
What?
Yes. Everywhere I go, I see the same.
This is Fuckboy Problems Radio. I'm your host, Justin Rain. We have Henry here on Mr. Check Your Credentials. We just got through with the letter and we told that girl she need to go straight to see somebody's therapist. But now I'm ready to hear your song. What is your song of the week?
So I don't know if anyone else has picked this song because I'm not listening to all your episodes, but my song is going to be Alanis Morissette's You Ought to Know.
No one has, and I love You All to Know.
I love that song.
On Little Jagged Pill.
Yes,
that was my CD. Okay,
I had my CD. That was my shit. That was my shit.
Why was that song so important to you? Why did it mean so much to you?
There's a line in the song where she says, in like the last verse, she says, the joke that you laid in the bed, that was me, and I'm not going to fade away as soon as you close your eyes. And every time I scratch my nails down someone else's back, I hope you feel it. Well, can you feel it? And that line sticks with me. And I remember when I broke up with the guy, that was the song that was in my rotation when we broke up. Because it's like, you knew you had all intentions of playing me and inadvertently. And then I just hope that any joy that I have henceforth, that you feel it, every bit of it. You happen to come across me one day, you come and look me up and I'm doing well and amazing, booty fat, stomach full, in love, whatever that love may look like. And I hope that it eats at your fucking soul. Ooh, Amber, you hateful. But that's like one of my... I didn't like think about it. I was like, you like pick a song. I was like, what is this good song? Cause I mean, I've been on a lot of Chloe and Halle lately. But definitely, you ought to know is like definitely like. I don't think that if you break someone's heart, you should ever forget.
You know that was about the Full House dude, right? You know, it's about the dude from Full House.
Yes.
Yes. The blonde guy, y'all. If y'all don't know, I forgot his name on the show. But yeah, the blonde brother on
his name was Dave Coulier in real life. I can't remember his name on the show.
I could not think of his character's name. But yeah. She wrote that. Please make sure to add our playlist on Spotify and Apple Music. This is You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
Well, yeah, if you
think you can.
Okay. Deanna.
If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay.
We are at the final fuckboy fix portion of today's episode. I am so blessed to have been able to have this conversation with you. You have definitely dropped some gems for me. So thank you again so much, Henry, for being on the show. What is your fuckboy fix today?
My fuckboy fix is to get into an unconditional relationship with yourself. Love yourself at the height you are, the weight you are, the level of intelligence that you have, and your current burden of pain, and to get into an unconditional relationship with that. That came from a quote from a Buddhist monk named Pema Chodron, and Tracy Ellis Ross re-quoted it on some video. The quote runs like that to some extent, but like basically like, it's okay to love yourself where you are, completely love yourself where you are, and accept the things that are good and bad about you. And the sooner that you do that, and when you are ready to enter into a relationship with someone, no one can shake you from that.
Okay.
Anything. Damn. We all have trauma. We all aren't perfect. We all have beautiful things about us. Like, you know, I got a fat ass and an amazing pussy. But I also have been bullied as a kid, and I have trauma around that. I've been through therapy, but, you know, I love all those things about me unconditionally.
You do. You have to love every piece of yourself. And you're so right. Tracy, she has a quote that says, you know, I don't strive to be happy because happiness is fleeting and everyone tells you to run for happiness. Is that in the same speech where she says this?
Yes.
She makes a statement and then she continues and she says, I decided to start seeking joy within.
Yes. It's in that same video.
Because she said, I can fill my cup up with joy and the cup will be my own. And it never has to be poured. Oh, baby, that was a good one. Y'all go look
joy
up that
is much denser than happiness.
You can find it online, definitely. It was
definitely
a great one.
Somewhere. I think I want to say that the video was done by Huffington Post.
I think it was. HuffPost did they did like a clip, like a recap of like her speech, and they like put those parts together. I don't know where she was giving this speech at. She was giving some speech. I felt like it was at somebody's school.
Yeah, it was outside somewhere.
Yeah, she looked cute. But we know she was going to look cute.
She did.
Well, thank you again for doing today's episode. Please tell everybody out there about your podcast one more time, how to find that, and how to find you all on social media.
My podcast is KRK Radio. It is a nerd podcast about the X-Men and all the things going on weekly in X-Men books. You can find it on Apple Music and you can find it on SoundCloud. You also can find me on Twitter and Instagram under the name Just X Henry, JUST, the letter X, HENRY. Also, you can search me on thebody.com. I am also a Black queer writer around gay dating, sex, and relationships. And you can find me there. My name is Henry Philyaw, H-E-N-R-Y-P-H-I-L-Y-A-W. You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you, Henry. This was Mr. Check Your Credentials. And bye, fuck boys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _FBProv. Also, if you want to see video clips from today's episode, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel by visiting our Linktree at linktr.ee/FBProvs. And go ahead and add our playlist on Spotify and Apple Music while you're there. And last but not least, if you've got fuckboy problems or just want some advice, email us at fbprovs@justinrain.com. Until the next episode, bye fuckboys!